And I've thought very carefully about the words I'm about to say. And I need to get this off. I appreciate Donald Trump. That's right, I need to check my wallet. Have I got my Republican card in the back there? But no, I haven't, so don't worry about that. But I appreciate Donald Trump very much, actually, because every time he speaks, it shows me the power of words. Every time he speaks, it shows me what words can do. And words have an amazing power. Because whenever he speaks, it seems that a nation begins to divide, or communities start to get pulled apart, or families get ripped apart at borders. So I very much appreciate Donald Trump because he shows me the negative power of our words. And as I was thinking about Donald Trump's words and the power that they were having in the world, and I was thinking, oh, I've got to preach on Sunday, I began to think of a story in the Bible where we see the power of words, but this time, instead of pulling people down, instead of separating families, instead of dividing nations, these words pull a nation together. These words give hope to people who thought there was no hope. These words make dry bones come alive. And I'm going to read a story from the Old Testament, because I love the stories in the Old Testament, because they're full of, they're just great stories, actually. And it's going to be from Ezekiel. And as I read it, I want you to try and imagine your way into the story. Okay, you're going to hear about a valley full of bones. I want you to just imagine that you are in that valley. There is no sound apart from the wind whistling through these dead bones. There might be a vulture circling overhead. And the sun is out, but there is no warmth in it. Kind of like today, really. So if you, the word will come up there and you can either listen or you can read along with me. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "Oh, sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, 'Dry bones, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I spoke this message, just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves to complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again.' So I spoke the message as he commanded, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. "When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken." Amen to that. Now, before we begin to sort of delve into that passage, I'm just going to pray. Okay. Father God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is at this moment in our midst. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you would open our eyes and our ears and our minds to the words spoken in this message, but also, Lord, in the words we say to each other, that we might become more like you, that we might know you, that we might be your servants wherever you take us and place us. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Right, so Ezekiel. Ezekiel ends up in the Valley of Death. And I'm thinking to myself, probably not your average day at the office, or at least not my average day at the office, because normally the worst thing that will happen to me is that the milk's slightly off and we have a bit of a bad cup of coffee. And I know that this isn't what Ezekiel signed up for to do. And we have to know a little bit about him. He's a priest, and he's been trained to serve in the temple in Jerusalem. And if you're a priest, this is the place you want to serve in, because it's temple with a capital T. It's the best temple in the world. But right now, there's a little bit of a problem. Because right now, the temple is just a pile of rocks. It's been pulled down, it's been split apart, and it doesn't exist. Jerusalem lies in ruins. The city of God, the place of the nation of Israel, has been destroyed. All the people have been marched off to Babylon. It's a disaster. The land that had been promised to Abraham seemed to be no more. Jerusalem, the city of God, is in ruins. The temple has been pulled down. God has disappeared. And it's to this broken nation who can't see God on the horizon, who can't see any hope, that God speaks. That God takes Ezekiel through his spirit into this valley. A valley teeming with bones. And as a priest, Ezekiel just doesn't want to be here, actually. He's not even supposed to touch anything that's unclean. And trust me, for a priest, a dead body in ancient Israel was unclean. He does not want to be here. Everything that he's been taught about what's right and wrong tells him he does not want to be here. But this is where God is leading him. And so God says to Ezekiel, "Ezekiel, you know, as you look around and you see all these bones, bones that cry out to desolation, to cry out about pain, do you think I can restore them? Do you think I have the power and ability to raise them back to life, to make them more than they were? Tell me, Ezekiel, can these bones come back?" And Ezekiel, I think quite wisely, says, "Well, Lord God, only you can answer that." Because from his viewpoint and from our viewpoint, there is nothing we can do to raise the dead. I certainly know that I cannot raise the dead. Ezekiel knew that he could not raise the dead. Lord God, only you can answer that. And so what does God do? Does he reach down from heaven with his hands and touch the bones and magically they become people? No. Does he call down from heaven and with his voice speak directly to the bones? No. He commands Ezekiel to speak to the bones. And as I read that story, I couldn't help wondering if Ezekiel thought to himself, what's the point? What are my words going to do in a situation like this? What is the point of my words? What is the point of our words? Now, a few months ago, I was at Carey Baptist College, where I go every week, and every week they have a prayer meeting, and since, you know, Bible college, you probably go to the prayer meeting, because that's a good thing to do. So I went along to the prayer meeting, and we often have a theme, and this theme this week was about the staff and the students of Carey College. So we are praying about staff and students, and people had concerns, and we went through them. And as I was sitting there in this prayer meeting, and you have to need to know something about me. I'm a screaming introvert, so, you know, I quite like to sit quietly and just listen to other people talk and maybe, you know, say something. Or probably about an hour later think, oh, I wish I had said something. But anyway, we're sitting there and we're praying along, which is great, good. And a name came into my head. And I'm going to call him Tim. Tim's name came into my head. And I don't really know Tim. I've met him maybe once or twice. I kind of waved him across the courtyard. But his name came into my head, and I thought, that's kind of interesting. But the longer I was in this prayer meeting, the more his name kept coming to my head, Tim. And I thought to myself, that's really annoying. Go away, Tim. But it kept coming back. And eventually I thought, what am I going to do? And I actually did nothing in the prayer meeting. I thought, this is a bit weird. But afterwards, as I sort of sat down in the library trying to do some study, as I was watching Facebook, his name kept coming to my head. Tim, 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 Tim. So eventually I thought, okay, I'll go and visit Tim. So I made my way and I found Tim. And Tim is an older man, so slightly older than me. And I didn't know him that well, so I kind of walked up to him, and as I was walking up to him, I was praying quite fervently, as you do when you're thinking, this is going to go really badly. And I said to Tim, Tim, I really believe that for whatever reason, God has asked me to come to you right now, and I had been praying about this, and just say, look, whatever it is that you are going through, God is with you, and he knows what you're going through, and he is right beside you. And I have to say, this was out of my comfort zone to do this sort of thing. And I just thought, I wonder how this is going to go. And as I said those words, Tim started to cry. Tim had a three-month-old son, his firstborn, who a week earlier had just been diagnosed with cystic fibrosis. And I don't know if you know about cystic fibrosis, but it's a life-limiting disease. Your lungs and some of your organs get quite clogged up with mucus. His firstborn son, and maybe only his only child, was going to die within 20 years, 25 years. And I, as we spoke and I listened and we talked, God was there in that moment. And I've reflected on the time there. And I think, what an amazing God we have that chooses us to help heal others. Who chooses us, in spite of our insecurities, to go out into the world on his behalf. Who chooses us to help the dead come back to life. To give hope into situations that seem hopeless, that take God's presence to others. And it reminds me of Ezekiel, because in that story, it's Ezekiel who works for God. It's Ezekiel who speaks on behalf of God into a hopeless situation. And in our own lives, it's God speaking through us that can heal this world. And in that story, as we see of Ezekiel speaking these words out, and we see these bones coming together, and we see sinew and flesh and muscle being placed upon them, they're still dead people. They are alive but not yet living. They aren't living until the breath of God enters them. They look alive, but they are the walking dead. And this picture of God breathing new life into people echoes through the Bible. We see it in John's Gospel, where Jesus first appears to his disciples at the end. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit." But why? Why receive the Holy Spirit? Because God does not want to be God alone. God, through His Spirit, commands us not only to love, but He gathers us and He speaks through us to a world which needs to hear His word. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." We are called to be witnesses in the world, witnesses that speak words of life to those that need to hear them. Because just as I've seen in the news, our words or the words of others have the power of life and death in them. A word can build a person up or a word can pull a person down. So how much more weight do the words that we carry within us as servants of the living God have? A living God who creates something out of nothing. A God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. A God who said, "Be clean," and the leper was clean. Who said, "Be still," and the sea was calm. Who said, "Be gone," and the demons fled. Who said, "Lazarus, come forth," and a dead man walked. Because when we have the Spirit of Christ in our lives, we are speaking the words of God into others. And our words have more power than we know. Every time we pray for someone in the name of Jesus Christ, whether we see something or not, something is happening. Every time we bless someone in the name of Jesus Christ, whether we see something occurring or not, something is happening. Every time we act in the name of Jesus Christ, whether we see it happening or not, something is happening. Something beyond ourselves. When the Spirit stirs within us, when it begins to disturb us, and when we respond to His call, something happens in this world and it begins to shift. We can bring the dead back to life. Because as followers and disciples of Jesus Christ, everything we say, everything we do matters to this world. Now, Jesus, in one of his less than popular sayings, said to his disciples, so he said this to his closest 12 buddies, you know, they've been with him for 3 years and they still didn't get it. He said to them, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand than to go into the unquenchable fire of hell with two hands." Now, it's probably not the memo you want to get from your boss on a Monday morning. But Jesus is using quite shocking language to tell us something. You know, he's using language that really is made to stop us in our steps. What we do matters. What we say counts. We have power in our words, and we need to think about how we use them. Ezekiel was filled by the power of the Spirit, just as each one of us who calls Christ Lord is. Ezekiel spoke words of life to the dead, just as we can. And like Ezekiel, God wants us to be part of that process. He wants us to speak words of hope and forgiveness and love and warning into other people's lives. But just like Ezekiel, who was taken to this valley of bones, taken to a place that he really didn't want to go to, sometimes it means we have to step out of our comfort zone. Sometimes it means when we feel God nudging us one way, we need to be willing to step one way. It might mean that when others stand still, we need to stand up. It might mean when others say nothing, we need to speak out. And that can be scary. But the good news is we don't do it on our own. Because the Spirit of God goes with us and before us and is in us. The same Spirit which took Ezekiel into the valley wants to take us into our families, into our workplaces, into our communities, to change them, to give them hope, to show them that they can be brought back to life. But it's up to us to trust God when we hear Him whispering to us. So the question I just want to leave before us today is this. If you feel the Spirit prompting you, stirring you, disturbing you, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to sit quietly? Or are you willing to step up and out? Will your words speak words of life or words of death? Because that's the power of our words. That's the power of God in our lives. Are you willing to trust a God who is vulnerable enough to trust us? Let's pray. Father God, today we invite you to breathe on us, in us, and through us. Ezekiel stood in the valley of dry bones and saw how you could bring new life. Sometimes our world looks desperate and desolate as sun-bleached bones in a dark valley. And yet you call us to speak your words of hope and life to others. Strengthen us so that we might be caring and courageous as we speak words of life to others. Help us to love and reach out to others, just as you reached out to us through the birth of your Son, Jesus. As we go out into the world, Lord, empower us so that we might seek to live a new life, strengthened by you as we carry hope and the promise of renewal. May we be agents of life in a world that doesn't always love life. We pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think now we're going to move into a time of communion. Adam's